Father, we thank you. We thank you for you, for who you are, your love, your grace, your mercy, Lord, your righteousness, your kindness. Lord, also we thank you that you love us, that you called us, that you have reached out and drawn us to yourself because of your great love, because of your mercy and grace. And Father, now as we have praised you in song, we want to worship you by giving heed to your word. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears. Cause us to hear from you this morning. We need to hear from you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's teaching is Hearing God's Voice. Pretty appropriate there. I don't know for the how I prayed there. But from time to time as a pastor, and gosh, this has been going on for years and years and years. I mean, ever since I've been in ministry at all, I'll have people coming up to me, and maybe you have had these same questions, that how do you know when God is speaking to you? How do you know that? Or how do you know it's God that's speaking to you? You know, because oftentimes we get these ideas or thoughts in our heads, right? Or even feelings like we're being drawn or led in a certain direction. And really, when you get right down to it, understanding what the Bible says, there's basically three different sources from those thoughts, you know, where they can come from. It's either God, the devil, or our flesh. One of those three. And we certainly don't want to be led by the devil, right? We don't want to be listening to that guy. And Wednesday, if you were here, you saw that we don't want to be led by the flesh either. Because we've been going through Romans, and in Romans 8 makes it really, really clear. You get led by the flesh, you die. That's that easy, you know? So how can we tell if what we're experiencing, if what we're hearing is from God or not? Today, hopefully, we'll get the answers as we look at this first time that Samuel hears from the Lord. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So where it says that Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, it means that he was apprentice under Eli. You know, and so he was learning how to serve the Lord from Eli. Now remember, this was during the time of the judges. And judges were not prophets. They didn't speak forth God's word normally. They were usually military leaders, or they would do double duty sometimes as not only a military leader, but as the leader of the nation of Israel, or at least of a tribe or a couple of tribes when it came to civil matters and that. But hearing from God at that time was primarily done through the high priest. And remember, the high priest was the one who was given the ephod with the Urim and the Thummim in there, where they would get a yes or no answer from God. Now, they also had the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They taught it to their kids. They passed it on orally to their children. And we see it cited. We've been seeing it as we have gone through, like, say, Judges. We saw that different people would cite, you know, the Pentateuch there. We will see it in the rest of the Old Testament being referred to, and as well as the New Testament. The Jewish people passed the Word of God on, and that it was to be really the main thing that guided them and led them, and all was the Word of God. And as far as hearing directly from the Lord, that was rare, we're told here in verse 1. It was like we saw last week, that the first prophet of that time, remember, was introduced as the anonymous man of God that was sent to Eli to give a message from God. Well, he's letting us know it was rare. That was very rare back then. In verses 2 and 3, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, So we'll stop right there for a sec. Most believe that this happened about 9 years after Hannah had lent Samuel to the Lord. And you know, he was about 3 at that time, so Samuel's probably about 12, maybe 13 at this point. And Eli is in his 90s, probably his late 90s. And both are sleeping in their beds. It's almost daybreak, you know, where it says, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord. Leviticus 4, the first 4 verses, tell us that they were to keep it burning there in the tabernacle from evening until morning. And so it's late at night or real early in the morning before daybreak, and that's when it happens. Look at 4 and 5. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. So God calls Samuel, and he thinks it's Eli. And at first, Samuel answers from his bed, "Here I am." No answer from Eli. So he gets up, goes into Eli's room. "Here I am, for you called me." Eli, "I didn't call you." Now, at this point, Eli probably thought Samuel was dreaming or something. And he just tells him, "Go back to bed." So he did. And folks, understand, when the Lord calls someone into ministry, if we don't get it the first time, he keeps calling until we do. You think about Jonah, the prophet, right? The wayward prophet. He heard the Lord, and instead of going where he was supposed to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction. And after his deep sea fishing experience, he went from the boat to the belly, from the burp to the beach. Well, then God spoke to him again in Jonah 3:1, we're told, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." God will speak again. God is persistent. If we don't get it, he'll talk to us again. Verses 6 and 7, it says, "Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." When the Lord called my wife and I to move here, he had put it in my heart that we were to come and I was to be the pastor. And there were a number of ways that the Lord confirmed that to me, that he made me real sure of it. My wife, on the other hand, most of you that know her know it took a lot more convincing from the Lord to get her to know that God had called us here. But through a series of God-orchestrated events and circumstances, and some of them were pretty miraculous, we both were absolutely convinced that the Lord had called us into this ministry. See, our Lord will do what it takes to get us to hear him, and really, if we're willing to listen to him. My wife wanted to hear him, but she was willing, but she just didn't think this is from God. It's, you know, she thought I was nuts kind of thing. But Jesus said in Matthew 11:14, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Folks, listen. Listen to when God's speaking. It's really a lot to do with us as to whether we hear from God or not. It's kind of like a radio station. You know, you've got K-God transmitting. And the radio station can be pumping out the message 24/7 and as strong as possible, but if your set's tuned off, your receiver set isn't turned on, you're not going to hear it. And that's the way it is. We have to have those ears to hear. Let him hear, Jesus says. So after the second time, the writer lets us know Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. See, Samuel knew about the Lord. He ministered to the Lord, but he had never had that personal encounter with the Lord. And that's what's happening here. Do you remember the first time that you had a personal encounter with the Lord? Do you remember that? Especially some of you, like me with gray hair. Do you remember back that far? A couple of days ago, I was talking with a young lady who had just experienced that a little over a week ago. And she was telling me, with tears in her eyes, of what an awesome experience it was and how it was her hope to someday be able to help someone else to have that same personal experience with the Lord. Oh, man. Even right now, I get kind of choked up because that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to have that living, that vital, that ongoing relationship, that personal relationship with Him. And folks, we should be excited about that. We should want to share that with other people. I mean, you think about the early church. The apostles gave their lives to do that. Jesus gave us that command to all of us that that's our job. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's still our job. That's still what He has given us to do. It is sad that some believers who've walked with the Lord for years forget what it was like that first time that they met the Lord. The first time that they realized all their sins were forgiven. The first time they realized, I am a child of God now, like we just sang. Man, don't you remember that excitement and that joy that you had? It's unfortunate. And I think that a lot of believers do forget that because a lot of times they go walking around, even come to church, looking like they've been baptized in lemon juice. The joy of the Lord is to be our strength, folks. Now, something that's just as sad right here is this old high priest, and remember, he was also a judge of Israel. He knew the Lord, but like we saw last week, he had kicked against the Lord by not disciplining his wicked sons for so long that the Lord was no longer speaking to him. In fact, remember last week we saw that man of God was sent to him by the Lord to talk to him, to tell him of the coming judgment against him, his sons, and his future generations. And now this old high priest, blind physically and deaf to God's voice, just wants to go back to sleep. He wanted to be as asleep physically as he was spiritually. Go back to bed, kid. Leave me alone. And so verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. So here, this third time, the Lord calls Samuel. He comes again to Eli, and you see he's still respectful and thinking it's Eli calling him, but what he says is a little bit different. There's a little bit of difference there where he says, here I am, for you did call me. You know, at this point, Samuel understands, okay, something's going on. He's 12 or 13 years old, but he's not stupid. Something's happening here, okay? This is number three. Something's happening. He's probably thinking, either this old man has gone senile and he's calling my name and he don't even know it, or he's messing with me. He's just messing with me, seeing how many times I'll get up out of bed and come over and say, well, here I am, you called me. And they say that third time's a charm, right? Well, it must be because Eli here finally gets it. The light comes on. The Lord's calling the boy. I know what that is, man. God must be calling him. Verse 9, therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now, can you imagine, if you were Samuel, how excited you would be? Okay, you've heard the Lord speak three times. All three times you think, well, that was Eli, my mentor. He's the one calling me. And now his mentor tells him, uh-uh, wasn't me. You know what? That's the Lord. God himself is calling you. Can you imagine how excited you would be? I mean, think about that. You're laying there in bed. There's no way this kid's going back to sleep. Wow, God's going to speak to me. Wow, I'm going to hear from God directly. Wow, man, wow. And you know, it got me thinking, it's like, okay, how about you? Do you get excited? Are you anticipating that God is going to speak to you? When you got up this morning to come to church, were you praying? Were you excited? Were you thinking, okay, God, you know, I understand this place teaches your word. You know, they read the Bible, they teach the Bible. You know, so that's your word. You're going to say something to me. What are you going to say, Lord? Prepare my heart. I want to hear from you. I want to take that in. I want to put it in my life. I want to apply it to how I live. Lord, speak to me today. I want to hear from you. You know, do you have that sense of what's God going to say to me today? Whether it's coming to church or even when you're just at home and you're reading the Bible and you're there. But, and I hope no one does this. You just get your chapter a day to keep the devil away kind of thing. You know, you're doing punching the time card. You know, well, okay, I did a chapter today, or I did, you know, I did so many verses, and, you know, I read for 15 minutes. Okay, God's got to be pleased, and now I'll go on with my business. But instead, you spend that time every day saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. Speak to me, Lord. What would you have me to hear? Is that you? Folks, if it's not, may I encourage you to repent? That means to turn around, to go the other direction, and to understand that God loves you, that he wants to speak to you, that he has so much for us. We should be excited. We should be anticipating what he would say to us. He wants to, and he will. We just have to be ready and willing to listen. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, yeah, this gets quoted a lot. For I know the thoughts, and this is the Lord speaking, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. See, the things that he has for us are good. We have to be ready to hear, ready to listen, if we want to experience all that good that God has for us. So again, Samuel's there. He's laying down in bed. He's waiting. He's anticipating. In verse 10, now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Imagine when he heard that. Yes, the Lord didn't give up on me. A fourth time, all right. And understand, folks, the Lord won't give up on you and I either. He won't give up on anyone. If it takes four times, or if it takes 40 times, he's patient, he's persistent. No wonder. In Psalms 106:1, we read, praise the Lord! Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That is written and rewritten so many times in the Old Testament, that his mercy endures forever. A lot of times we don't get that. A lot of times we think, you know, okay, I blew off God. You know, he was trying to get a hold of me back when I was a teenager. He was trying to get a hold of me in my 20s or whatever, you know, and, you know, he's done with me. No, his mercy endures forever. He's not going to give up on us. He's going to keep holding his hand out. He's going to keep calling. He's not going to give up. His mercy endures forever. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you, or goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to give up, even if you blow it. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Philippians 1:6, one of my favorite verses, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, we can be confident of this, folks, that if God has started a work in our lives, that if he's called us to a ministry, if he's called us to himself, even if you didn't get it at first, if you didn't respond correctly the first couple of times, he's not going to give up on you. Now, something we need to see here, it's real important as we're considering hearing God's voice. When Samuel responded to the Lord's calling, he said, speak, for your servant hears. Two important words there, real important. Sammy referred to himself as the Lord's servant. Your servant hears. See, if we want to hear from the Lord, we have to have the right attitude. Not of pride. Yeah, I'm somebody. Yeah, man, I'm this 12-year-old kid. Or I'm this, you know, or that. You know, God's going to use me. My mom told me all about it. Eli, the old man's been telling me about it. I'm somebody. You know, no. We have to have the right attitude. We have to be humble. You know, we can't be thinking more of ourselves than we ought to think. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve, Lord. The second word is hears. Your servant hears. That word hears in the Hebrew is a word that means to hear intelligently and attentively with the implication of obedience to whatever is about to be said. And that's a mouthful. But that's what one of the Hebrew dictionaries defines that word as. See, if we want to hear God's voice, we've got to be ready to obey once we hear from him. But that's what servants do, right? That's what we as servants should do. Servants, they listen to and obey their masters, their Lord. That's what Jesus said in Luke 6, 46 through 49. Jesus said to all these people that were following him, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Because God is good, and because God loves us, what God will say to us, no matter how uncomfortable or inconvenient it is for us, it's going to be good for us. If we'll hear him in this way, listen to what he says and then do it, we'll be building our lives on the rock. If we don't hear, if we ignore what he has shown us, well, the storms will come and we'll be devastated when they do. So what does the Lord say to Samuel on this initial meeting? Look at verse 11. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like God has good news for Israel. And it's not going to be good news. That word tingle means to quiver, to shake, to ring. It means to be stunned in a state of surprise or astonishment. In verse 12 through 14, God goes on and says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Whoa. Now that's a pretty heavy message to give a 12-year-old boy, huh? It's pretty heavy for a first word from God. But the Lord had chosen Samuel as a young child. And I believe one of the reasons why he chose him is because the Lord knew that Samuel would be faithful with God's word. Faithful that whatever God gave him, he would be faithful to pass that on. He'd be faithful to give it out just as God gave it to him. And that's another factor in hearing God's voice. Are you ready to be faithful with what God shows you? Are you ready to share, to pass on to others what God will show you, what he'll say to you? After this, Samuel goes back to bed, and then in the morning, he goes about his duties as usual. He opens the tabernacle up, and He doesn't want to, but Eli makes him tell him what God said. And Eli, he kind of resigned himself to what God was doing. Well, God's going to do what he's going to do. You know, nobody can stop him kind of thing. But there's no real repentance there. And then when you get down to verses 19 and 20, it says, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord." When it says that the Lord let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground, it means that God brought those things to pass. All of those things that God had told Samuel to prophesy about, God was faithful to bring those things to pass. Because, see, that was one of the ways that God gave Israel in the law to know if somebody was a true prophet of God or not. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22, it says, "And if you say in your heart, 'How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." So when something doesn't come to pass, and that goes for today too, there are those cults that have prophesied the second coming of Christ a number of times. And it would be funny if people didn't believe what they said. But over and over, they do that, and then they make excuses. And then there's those people that are not even in cults, they're just trying to sell books. And so they come up with all these different things. And you guys remember 88 reasons for 88? Why the rapture was going to happen in 1988? Guess what? It didn't happen. Might have something to do with no man knows the day or the hour, huh? Well, that didn't deter this guy. There was still money to be made, so he came out the next year with 89 reasons for 89. And people bought the books. God's telling us plainly, man, if it doesn't happen, it ain't God. That's, you don't listen to him. In verse 21, "Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Now, I'm reading from the New King James, and it doesn't really carry the full impact of that verse. The NIV does a lot better job in this verse. It says, "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." See, because Samuel was faithful with God's word, whatever the Lord gave him to share, he shared it. He passed it along faithfully. He didn't water it down, didn't hold anything back. The Lord continued to reveal himself to Samuel. Folks, if we refuse to hear and obey what we know the Lord has already revealed to us, then we shouldn't expect to hear any more. I mean, you think about it. The way God leads us is step by step. See, he shows us, this is where I want you to go, right here. And so we take that first step. Okay, Lord, here I am. And he says, okay, now I'll show you the next step. And we take that next step. And as long as we keep obeying him, then he keeps revealing. But when we say, no way, Lord, well, you know what? In his grace, he won't reveal anymore. He'll withhold his word or withhold. He'll keep people from understanding it so they won't incur as much judgment, because Jesus taught that we are responsible for what we know. Beaten with few stripes versus beaten with many. But what about the times when we think God is speaking to us? Like when we mentioned at the beginning, those thoughts, those ideas, or impressions that we think might be from the Lord. Well, I believe God can and does still speak to his children. I mean, the Bible says so. But it's primarily through his written word. But the Lord also speaks through circumstances. You know, that does happen. God lines them up. You know, we may refer to them as coincidences. A pastor friend of mine refers to them as God-o-incidences, and how God lines things up. Sometimes he does that. You know, other times God can speak to us through other believers. I believe the gift of prophecy, not in an Old Testament sense, but the New Testament says that that is one of the gifts of the Spirit, that, you know, somebody could have a prophetic word, but we're to judge those prophecies, the Bible says. And one of the things that we're to do is to judge them by the word of God and to make sure, hey, you know, does it line up with Scripture? Or maybe just a brother or a sister you know, giving us biblical counsel or advice. And folks, if they're quoting the Word of God in context, you know, don't discount that. That could be right from the Lord. God might have put that on that person's heart. God can speak to us, like I mentioned before, from the pulpit, you know, or from Christian radio or TV, Bible podcasts, as long as the Bible is being taught. That's the Word of God. And you know, the thing is, the Bible says God can also speak to us by dreams. Peter quoted Joel in his first sermon, said, in the last days, you know, this will happen. Your old men will dream dreams. I've had a couple God dreams. And I remember after having one, it was pretty far out. It was amazing. And I know it was a God dream. I was like tied in knots the night before because I was going to speak for my pastor one of the first times that he used me to speak, you know, there in Tucson on a Sunday morning. And there was, you know, thousands of people going to church there. And I was just wrestling with what God had put on my heart. And in the dream, God shared with me a scripture verse in the dream. And it was a bizarre dream. It was just bizarre all the way around. But afterwards, you know, God kind of showed me the meanings of some of the stuff. But that scripture verse, I had no idea that I never had memorized that verse. And when I woke up in the morning, first thing I did was I grabbed the Bible by my bed, opened it up to that verse, and went, whoa, because it was exactly what that teaching I was going to share with was missing. It was exactly, you know, what I needed. And so it's like, wow, all right, awesome. But there are those times when God will speak directly to your heart. Whether it's an audible voice or not, I don't know, but that's happened to me, usually when I've been messing up. And I've shared with you guys before how, you know, a couple of those times. But God can do that. But in these last days, in these days even, just after the close of the canon of Scripture, as it's referred to, after Scripture has been finished being written, and it was finished in the first century there, here's a good rule of thumb. If it's true, whatever the teaching is, the Word from God or whatever, if it's true, it's not new. If it's new, it's not true. Because notice even what the Lord said to Samuel. Basically, it was the same thing that he had already said to Eli through that anonymous man of God in chapter 2. It was a confirmation. It was a restating of what he had already said. If what you think God is saying to you either violates or contradicts his written word, the Bible, in any way, that's not God speaking to you. It's either your flesh or the devil. Folks, the theologians have a word for God, that he is immutable. Okay? That means he doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus said in John 10:35, the scripture cannot be broken. That's why it's so important for us, folks, to study the Word of God. Because when we know it, we can discern what's of God and what's not. Psalms 119:11, the psalmist said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. In knowing God's word, we can know his love for us. We can know his will for us, his plans for us. And like we saw, they're good. No wonder Psalms 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Whenever you hear somebody who is a believer or says they're a believer and they discount God's word and they say, you don't really need it. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. No, he has magnified his word above all of his name. Now, we know his name is holy, right? We know that at his name, the whole earth will shake, that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. But he said his word, he has magnified his word above his name. That makes the word pretty important, huh? Let's be ready to hear, excited, anticipating, wanting God to speak to us, willing to hear and ready to obey what he tells us. Let's be faithful to share what he tells us, always comparing what might be from God with what we know is from God, his written word, the Bible. Now, I'll just leave you with this one. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, that we can go to your word, open it up, and hear you speak. Father, help us. Help us to be eager to hear from you. Help us to want to hear from you. Help us to want to hear with that idea of being ready to obey. Father, please help us. Lord, we need you. We need to hear from you. And we pray, Lord, that we would. Day by day, Lord, help us, Lord, to draw close to you, to open your word, to want to hear from you. Lord, that we might be pleasing to you, and, Lord, that we might be blessed in the doing of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.